Let's pray for the word. I need you to pray for yourself and ask the Lord to give you revelation, to give you understanding. Shall we pray for the word? Father, we thank you this morning for the preaching of the word. We pray for revelation knowledge. We pray for understanding. We pray that you'd speak to us today. We open our hearts, Holy Spirit of God. Download that which is on the heart of God for us. Father, we give you glory and we give you honor today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right. Are you ready to hear the word? Are you ready to hear the word? Fantastic. Amen. Okay. Show me by raising your hand if you are a parent. You are a parent? Okay. Great. I can see a number of us are parents. If you are not a parent, you are a child at some point. You are young. Hey. Okay. Now, it looks like a very good number of us here are parents. Now, I've come to realize that as a parent, you are a very proud parent if you have obedient children. Okay? When your children listen to your instructions, when you say to your kids, listen to me, girls, whenever you wake up, you need to make up your bed. Okay? And then you go into their room, you find that the bed is made, and you're like, wow, great. Okay? You tell your kids, whenever you're done with eating food, you pick your plates and you take them to the sink. Okay? And then they do that. You get excited, right? All right? You tell your kids, when you go to school, when you're walking down the road, you don't talk to strangers. And then the next thing your child said, I met Uncle along the road. Uncle Sammy was talking to me. Your heart gets a bit troubled. One thing that I know, if you are a parent and you have obedient children, your heart is so glad. Life is so easy when you have obedient children. And when your children are obedient, you go out of your way. Ordinarily, parents, we always go out of our way for our children, don't we? We do that. But if your child is an obedient child, you go beyond. You cross the oceans for them. Why? Because your heart is so joyful because you have a child who listens to you. Now, think about the opposite. If you have one of those children who don't pay attention to you, who don't listen to you, they do things because you're there. When you are not there, when the cat is away, the mice do whatever they want. Now, when you have children who don't pay attention, your heart is sore. Your heart doesn't feel excited. Now, one thing that I've realized, whenever laws and regulations are put in place, we are not very comfortable. Since the fall of man, you find that we are prone to be rebellious. Man is prone to be rebellious. Yes, I can tell you right now, if they tell you not to walk on a certain place, you want to walk there and see what happens. If they tell you don't cross this path, you want to cross it to see what happens. In the inclination of man, there is rebellion. In the absence of the fear of God, we are born to go downwards and to degenerate. Whenever we think of laws and regulations, we think they're there to confine us. We feel we're being restricted. We feel, man, we are not being allowed to have self-emancipation. I'm talking about rules and regulations. Now, this morning, I want to talk to you on the subject matter, faith that produces obedience. Faith that produces obedience. Without faith in God, one cannot walk in obedience. Without having confidence in God, one cannot walk in obedience. Without trusting God, you cannot walk in obedience. And I want to pause a question to you right on the onset. How strong is your faith? Is your faith strong enough to bring you to a place of obeying what God is saying to you? Come on now, speak to me this morning. Is your faith strong enough to bring you to a place of obedience? Now, what does it mean to obey? Let's go there for a moment, because I have realized that the words that are mostly used are some of the words that are least understood. What does it mean to obey? Does it make you feel comfortable when I'm talking about obeying right now, or you're shutting your internal ears? You're like, no, Pastor, don't talk about that issue. Let's talk about it. What does to obey mean? Number one, to obey means to submit to the authority of someone or to comply with a law. To obey means to submit to somebody else's authority. When your boss at work tells you, I need you to come to work on Saturday. When your boss tells you, I need you to come to work at 6:30 in the morning. Because we've got a deadline, I really need you guys to come. When your pastor says to you, guys, I need you to come for an outreach. Do we obey those kind of instructions? That is what obedience is. It is to submit to the authority of someone or to comply with a law. Let's talk about church. One of the things that I found very interesting about church is that as long as there are no instructions being issued, instructions that don't really settle well with you, there is peace. We call him pastor as long as he doesn't cut across our lines. But the moment the pastor calls you and says, I don't think this is right, at that point he moves from being your pastor to being that guy. Who is that guy? Who does he think he is? So to obey is to submit to another's authority. You see, authority is delegated authority. In homes, your wife, your husband has authority, and therefore your children sit under the authority of their parents. When you go to work, your boss has authority over that area. He's a matron. In other words, he's got jurisdiction in that environment, and then they start giving you rules and regulations. They say you will not use your computer or your work computer for personal and private use. But we still use them for private uses. Submitting to another's authority. Number two, to obey is to carry out a command or instruction. Let's break it down to its simplest level. To obey, it is simply to carry out a command or instruction. Number three, to obey, it is to behave in accordance with a general principle. You are told, this is a 60-kilometer-hour zone. Those of you who drive, how easy do we find it to stick to the speed limits? So, to behave in accordance with a general principle or a natural law. Now, let's talk about biblical obedience. What is biblical obedience? In biblical terms, it is to obey. To obey is to hear God and to do and act accordingly. Has God been speaking to you? What did he tell you to do this past week? Did you obey? Did you listen to the voice of the Lord? So you're catching us today on this series entitled Unwavering Faith. And I want you to know, without faith, we cannot obey God. Without faith, we cannot sit under the authority of God. Let's go to Hebrews 11, verse 8. So we've been unpacking the chapter 11 of Hebrews, and now we're in verse 8. Now the Bible says, by faith, Abraham obeyed. By faith, Abraham submitted himself to the authority of God. By faith, Abraham carried out a command that God gave him. By faith, Abraham behaved in accordance to a rule that God had given him. Now, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. Not knowing where he was going. It was through faith or trust in God that Abraham acted out in line with what God had asked him to do. Let's catch the story in Genesis chapter 12. Go with me to Genesis 12 verse 1. So this is the background, and this is the story of Abraham. The Bible says in verse 1, now the Lord had said to Abraham, get out of your country, get out from your out of your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. Verse 2, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. And Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. He was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Now, whenever you are prompted to obey, it will always challenge the status quo. Whenever God challenges you to obey, whenever God asks you to obey something, it will always, always challenge the way things are in your life, the way you are used to doing things. That is what obedience will do. In the face of obedience, life cannot be as business as usual. Hello, somebody. In the face of obedience, life cannot be as business as usual. Otherwise, we would be all obeying today. So obedience has a way of triggering certain emotions in our lives because obedience will challenge your comfort zone. Hello, someone? Obedience will challenge your comfort zones. Write this down. Your blessing is attached to your level of obedience. And your obedience will always challenge your comfort zones. You want to walk in the blessings of the Lord? I want you to know the Lord will cause you to obey something. He will ask you to walk in obedience. Sometimes it's not a big issue, but it will still require you to walk in obedience. So your blessing is attached to your level of obedience. The more obedient you are, the greater blessings you will experience in your life. Hallelujah. When you walk in obedience, it attracts blessings over your life. But when you walk in obedience, you cannot walk in a comfort zone at the same time. Does somebody hear me today? Obedience and comfort zones are not friends. Because obedience will cause you to do things out of the ordinary. Obedience will cause you to do things that people will look at and say, that's weird. Why? Because it is called obedience. Now, for your next level, you need to confront your current comfort zones. For you to move in your next level of blessings, in your next move with God, you've got to confront your levels of comfort. Do you know that you don't need faith to walk in your comfort zones? You don't need faith to operate at the same level that you were operating 20 years ago. You are used to walking in the same way. I drive the same route going to work. Sometimes I don't even think, I've crossed that traffic light. Oh, by the way, no. I'm so used to driving that route day in, day out, that I don't even think about the route anymore. But the moment you ask me to come visit you, because it's an area that I don't know, it's an unfamiliar territory, I become very uneasy. Why? Because it is an uncomfortable zone. Write this down. Whenever God is about to do something new in your life, He will prompt you into an action of obedience. Whenever God is about to do something new in your life, He will prompt you into a dimension of obedience. Just think about that with me. Why does God prompt you to obey when He's about to promote you? It is because obedience will always test the inclination of your heart. Obedience will test where your heart lies. Because if your son really loves you, he will obey your commands. He will obey your instructions. If your daughter really loves you, she will listen to you when you tell her to do certain things. So obedience will test the inclination of your heart. And guess what? If you can obey God, God can use you for His glory. Because He can trust you. Does somebody hear me this morning? Now, when God was about to promote Abram, He gave him a command to obey. And I want you to know God uses the same pattern day in, day out, year after year. When God is about to promote you, He's going to call you closer to Him. and calling you closer to Him, you start seeing certain things in your life that were not an issue before. You know, it's like those lights that I see them. If I'm far away from a light source, my shirt might be dirty. But because I'm far away from the light source, I won't be able to see that my shirt is dirty. But the moment I get closer and closer to the source of the light, all of a sudden I realize I was dripping on myself. All of a sudden you see the spots over your shirt. Before then, the spots were not an issue. But as you get closer to the intensity of the light, you see that that shirt is not as clean as it looked. That talks about the glory of God. When you get closer and closer to God, when God is about to promote you in using you in another dimension, He will show you certain things that cannot enter His presence. And that becomes a moment of obedience. So I'm saying to you today, when God is about to do something fresh in you, He will prompt you to do an act of obedience. When God is about to give you more finances, He will prompt you to give more. He will say, I'm going to bless you, but what I really want is what you have in your hands. And you say to Him, Lord, sorry, you can't have what I have in my hands. And He says, that is fine. Keep what's in your hands, but I'll keep what's in my hands as well. The moment we walk in obedience, it releases whatever is in the hands of God. Does somebody hear me this morning? Genesis 12, 1. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. God gave Abram a command. And this morning I want you to know that you will experience the same level of testing that Abraham received if you are to receive the kind of blessing that Abraham received. Now, what were the tests of obedience that Abraham experienced? And you are going to experience them. The Lord is going to challenge us at different levels because whenever He wants to promote you, He wants to see, can I trust you? You see, if God cannot trust me, He will not release something in my life. But if there is a trust level, it's like our natural relationships. I want you to know you ought to love everybody, but you cannot trust everybody. The Bible says here, oh, nobody, nothing except love. Yes, it is your responsibility to love me, but it's not your responsibility to trust me. I must earn your trust. My behavior should bring me to a place where you can say, I trust him. If I have broken trust so many times, you have a right to look at me and say, sorry, I don't trust you. Until you have proven yourself. What are the level of tests that Abraham experienced, which you and I will experience? Number one, your natural identity must give way for your spiritual identity. That is one area of obedience that you will face when God is about to promote you, when God is about to shift seasons in your life. He will say to you, I want your natural identity to give way for your newly found spiritual identity. Abraham was told by God, leave your country. Don't just leave your country, but leave your family. Leave the environment that you are used to be in, and I will show you a place where you will go. And I want you to know the identity of Abraham was so much intertwined with his country. His identity was so much attached to his family. Many people are proud to be associated with their nations of birth. People are excited to say, I'm South African. Don't you know that I'm South African? I remember this past week or 2 weeks ago, where our president went for the G7 meeting. And there he was in a Twitter platform, and the journalist from the United States identified three of the leaders by name. And then she went on to say, and there was a fourth unidentified leader. And Twitter went mad. And they said, how dare you call our president an unidentified leader? South Africans rose up in rage and said, how dare you say that about our president? Don't you know his name is Cyril Ramaphosa? People took to arms because their president was disrespected. It is because we are proudly South Africans, isn't it? It is very few people that come from countries that they are not proud of to be identified with. Some people don't like to be known that, well, I'm not South African. Well, I'm from Angola. Or I'm from Zimbabwe. Very, very few people do not want to be identified with their birthplace. Now, when God came to Abraham and said, leave your country, what God was saying, that identity is not going to help you where I am taking you. I want you to know that your natural identity is not going to help you where you're going. It is not good enough for the calling over your life. Unfortunately, many people are still stuck in their natural identity, and yet they want to reach out to what God has in store for them. If you want what God has, you've got to leave your natural identity and say, who am I in God? I want you to know, before you are South African, you are a Christian. Before you are black, before you are white, you are a Christian. Before you are a man, before you are a woman, you are a Christian. That is identity that God is saying to you. Can you be comfortable with it? When you tell people, the reason why I don't behave in that manner, do you say it is because mama told me not to do it? Or you say, I don't do it because my God told me not to do it? We don't go there so many times. We are not comfortable that way. Your identity can either work for you or work against you. And God is saying something has to change. God wants to establish a new you with a new capacity, with a new ability to dream in the way that God dreams. I want you to know God has got dreams and aspirations for you, but do you carry the same aspirations? Can you even contain what God has in store for you? Your identity of past cannot contain what God has in store for you. That is why he said to Abram, if I am to do something with you, this land will hold you back. I have to take you out of it so that you can go into a place where it is you and I forging a new future for your children, forging a new future for this nation. Write this down. Your old self cannot contain the future. Transformation is necessary for what God is about to do in your life. Transformation is necessary for where God is taking you. Many of you have got dreams. You want to go somewhere, but you're still retaining the old identity. I want you to know your identity in God must trump your job title. We bring job. His eyes were open. He says, I saw 24 elders. They pulled down their crowns and they were worshiping God and they would say, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. We need to bring down our crowns when we come before God and say, before I'm a boss at work, I'm a child of God. Before I'm a pastor, I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to God. When we do that, we walk in great humility. We push our accolades. We push the degrees that we have. We push our CVs. And God says, put aside your CV because your CV won't take you where I want you to go. I have seen people who are qualified, but they are not able to get certain jobs. And I have seen people who are not qualified, but they are getting certain jobs. What could be the difference? It could be the identity in God. It could be somebody who knows, I know who I am. I know this song is just too me, but the song by Sinach who says, I know who I am. I walk in power. I live a life of favor. Hello? That's our identity. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, people of God, if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. God is saying to you, if you are in Christ, the old has gone by, the new has come. Can we embrace the new and become all that God has called us to be? And I want you to know, this area is a sure stopper for many believers. We still want to be identified with our past. But God is saying, move on. So that is the first issue. Our identity has to change. Number two, cut ties with your old self. Cut ties with your old ways of life. When God came to Abraham and told him, leave your country, leave your family. It also meant he had to sever ties with his old ways of living. In Haran, they were living in a certain way. And in Haran, it was a very idolatrous community. They were worshiping other gods in Haran. And God came to him and said, Abraham, I want you to leave your old ways. I want you to change your ways. You cannot embrace the move of God whilst holding on to old ways. When we were preparing for Holy Communion, we said, behold, God is about to do something new in your life. Are we ready for the new things that God wants to do? Matthew 9:17. Jesus was saying here, people do not pour new wine in old wineskins. People do not pour new wine in old wineskins. Otherwise, the wineskins burst and the wine pours out and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into fresh wineskins and both are preserved. When God is moving in our midst, when God is changing what he wants to do, he's asking us to change with him. He's saying, yeah, I'm pouring a new anointing. But is the vessel ready for the new anointing? I am moving on to a new dimension. Are you ready to embrace the new dimensions in God? I want you to know, yesterday's grace, yesterday's anointing is good, is not good enough for today. It was good enough for yesterday. That is why when they left Egypt and they crossed the Red Sea, they cried out for food. And God poured down manna from heaven. And God told them, you will only take enough manna for the day. Do not take more than enough for the day. Because if you take more than for today, the rest will go bad. In other words, God was saying, I want you to trust me for today. That is why Jesus said, when you pray, say, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. We need a fresh anointing, but we have to have a fresh ability to contain the anointing. So God said to Abram, leave your old ways. Leave your old ways of thinking. God is saying, come out of them and enter into something new. And I want you to know, God will always take you out of something into something new. He will never leave you in limbo, not knowing what to do. He is working something new in you. And he says, come out, and I'm taking you into something new. You cannot pour new wine into old wineskins, because both will be ruined. Write this down. The world and all its enjoyments must be looked upon with a holy indifference. These are old ways I'm talking about. Our old self, the one that died with Jesus on the cross, the one that was nailed on the cross. And here I want you to know, every child of God has to look at the ways of the world with a holy indifference and the contempt they deserve. We cannot live like people in the world. There must be a difference between us and those who don't know Jesus. There must be a difference when we, in our work environment, they must know that this person is a born-again Christian. They can call you names, it doesn't matter. They called Jesus names. They called him the king of devils. If they did that with Jesus, how much more us, his servants? And God said to Abram, come out. And this morning, I want to ask you, what is it that God is saying to you? Come out of it. Let go of it. What is it that God is asking you to let go of? And the Bible says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called out. And today, let faith arise for you to come out of your old ways of thinking. Let faith arise for you to think differently and put on the mind of Christ. The Bible says, for we have the mind of Christ. Glory be to God. So that's an area of obedience that you will experience when God is about to promote you. The area number three of obedience, stop trying to control the uncontrollable. Stop trying to control what is out of your hands. Stop worrying about what you cannot change. Stop worrying about tomorrow as if you can control tomorrow. When God came to Abraham and said to him, leave your country. At that point, he did not tell him where he was going. He simply said, leave your country, leave your mother, leave your papa, and go to a land that I will show you. If Abraham was a control freak, he was going to lose his mind at that point. He was going to say, you're telling me to leave a place that I'm familiar with, to go to a place that I don't even know? At least tell me the name of this place. At least tell me how far this place is. But God says, leave. I'll just show you where you're going. He simply said, pick up and we're going. Abraham told his wife and says, Sarai, we're moving. And this woman, thank God, she did not fight with her husband. Sometimes when God speaks to us as couples, he will speak to the one before he speaks to the other. When your wife comes to you and says, this is what God is telling me to do, do you fight her? Or you say, you know what, if it is God, let's walk by faith. Now, Abraham left Haran and he started walking. And I want you to realize this, put this down. As long as you want to understand the entire picture of your life, you are not ready to obey God. As long as you want to see the full steps, all the stairs going the way to the top, you want to see each one of them before you take the first, you are not ready to obey God. What I have realized with God in my walk with God, it is rare for God to give you a clear picture of what he's about to do. What he does, he gives you a glimpse. He gives you just enough for you to step into that. When you step into what he has revealed to you, he opens the next dimension. As long as you remain stationary, you will not see the story of your life. God had to speak to Abraham. And Abraham just had to obey. And it was when he was walking that he understood where God was taking him. The distance between Haran and Canaan was about 400 miles. It was quite a long distance. And he had just to walk by faith. That is why the Bible says, the righteous shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. We walk not by sight, but by faith. When we planted this church, if God had shown me what was going to happen, I might not have planted the church. If he had shown me the trouble that I've been through, I would not have volunteered. But at the same time, I have seen the goodness of God. I have seen the faithfulness of God. In the midst of the battles, I have seen the hand of God. I would not have understood another dimension of God had we not stepped out in faith. When you step out in faith, you give yourself an opportunity to see another dimension of God that you would not see when sitting down on your chair. Glory be to God. He was out of control. He didn't know where he was going. God took him out of an economic system that was working. Haran was working for him because Abraham, by that time, he had servants, he had animals. He was well-to-do. So the economic situation was working for Abraham. Now God was saying to him, stop trusting on what is working. I'm going to show you a better way. He had to walk by faith. That is what faith is. I might not know how it's going to work, but I know it's going to work. That is the faith walk. You might not know how it's going to work, but you know it's going to work. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. When you walk by faith, you have an assurance of the outcome of your events. You know my end is good. It might not be good right now, but this is not where I'm ending. I'm just walking through this moment. My end is good. Why? The Bible says, say to the righteous, it is well with you. Amen. Glory be to God. Whenever I read the scriptures, I see there is no one who walked in obedience and were left out to dry. Every person who walked in obedience, they experienced a reward. What is the reward of obedience? I want us to explore what is the reward of obedience. When Abraham obeyed God and he was ready to leave everything, he was ready to forsake his comfort, what was his reward? Genesis 12, verse 2. I will. Now, whenever you obey, I want you to see something here. it triggers God to move on your behalf. When God sees obedience, he jumps in and he is personally implicated in your life. Over 4 or 5 times, God says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Verse 3, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. In you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. When you obey God, God gets implicated in your life. It becomes a personal matter with God. Hello? When you obey God, God takes it personally. In the same way, if we disobey him, he takes it personally. The Bible says he gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. That word resist, it is he arranges against the proud. But when you obey God, he personally takes over in your life. I want God to take over in my life. I want to walk a life that I know it doesn't matter what happens, he is in charge. He is in control. Now he starts telling Abram, because of your obedience, because you're willing to leave your comfort zones, I'm going to reward you. What was the first reward? Promotion awaits the obedient. When you obey God, promotion is at your doorstep. Many people are looking for promotion, but they cannot walk in obedience. When you walk in obedience, promotion is right in front of you. You see, Abram was just part of a small family, but God said to him, the moment you leave your family, I'm going to promote you and I will make you a head of a great nation. Glory be to God. He says, leave that small family. You are not losing out. It doesn't feel like that when we obey God the first time. It doesn't feel like we're going to gain. It feels like we are losing. We are losing our liberty. It feels like we are losing joy. But when we walk in obedience, we are setting ourselves up for promotion. And God says here, I will make you into a great nation. I will make you a head of a great nation. And today we are all called children of Abraham. What was the trigger? It was him leaving Haran. I want you to know what you sacrifice at the point of obedience cannot be compared to the reward that comes after obedience. If we can just understand that equation, it causes us a small little bit of pain, but the gain that comes out of obedience outweighs the temporary pain that happens when we obey God. By being a father of a great nation, the issue of barrenness that was upon Sarah was no longer an issue. I want you to know that your obedience will trigger breakthrough into many other areas of your life. You might obey in one small area, but because of that act of obedience, God looks at other areas of your life and he starts unlocking doors and opening doors for you just because you obeyed here. Do not minimize the impact of obedience. Number 2, the reward of obedience is an obedient person receives divine capacity to prosper. An obedient person receives divine capacity to prosper. Now, God came to, I think there's something wrong with it. Go to the next one if you don't mind. No, go backwards. It's fine. It's supposed to, number 2, it's supposed to be an obedient person receives divine capacity to prosper. So I want you to realize that when God came to Abraham, he said to him, I will bless you. I will bless you. That word bless, it is empowered to prosper. Hello? It is empowered to prosper. The moment you walk in obedience, there is a blessing that resides over your life. You know, you cannot keep down an obedient person. Why? Because an obedient person is blessed by God. They can steal everything that you have, but they can't steal your blessing. Because your blessing is attached to your obedience. As long as you remain obedient before God, the blessing will continue flowing. So right now, instead of chasing after a blessing, let's chase after obedience. Because obedience is the trigger. It is the key to your blessing. It is the key to your blessing. Number three, obedience gives you access to a great name. There is something about a name. There is something about having a good name in a community. You know, some people get jobs because there was a name dropping that took place. There was a name dropping that took place. They say to him, Michael is going to come for that interview, but do you know that Michael is related to Monroe? Monroe, the owner of the chain, the hotels, you know, those all those hotels there. You know, Michael is a friend to Monroe. So the person who's interviewing Michael, all of a sudden, because they know Monroe's capacity, because they know I can get a business from Monroe, they'll give Michael the job. That is what they do in politics. They do name dropping. Like, do you know number one? Number one was at my house yesterday. You know number one. They won't call out my name. Like, you know number one. And you know who is number one. Okay? I'm talking about a great name. And God is saying to Abram, because of your obedience, I'll give you a great name. I want you to know that a good name is better than wealth. A good name is better than anything you can buy with money. Why? Because a good name will open doors for people around you. A good name will make it easy for you. Hallelujah. Now the Bible says when we are in Christ, we received a new name. Jesus, the name above all other names. Jesus, the name above all other names. It says, in the name of Jesus, you shall cast out demons. It says, you shall ask anything in my name and you shall receive it. Just because your name dropped Jesus before God. Don't name drop me. Name drop Jesus. That is why it says, you haven't received much because you haven't prayed in my name. We need to start praying in the name of Jesus. When we are believing God for healings, we pray in the name of Jesus. When we are believing God for open doors, we pray in the name of Jesus. Because it says, I am the one who opens a door that no man can close. I'm the one who closes a door that no man can open. Just the name. That is the name that started when Abraham walked out of Haran. He was given a name that was great. And through Abraham, we know Jesus came. And Jesus is the one who abides inside of us. You see, we are children of the Most High God. Jesus was not ashamed to be called our brother. He says, I'm not ashamed to be called their brother. I'm going to call on my brother Jesus. Don't mess with me because you don't know what he can do. Glory be to God. We must stop name-dropping people, physical people. We must start name-dropping Jesus when we walk into difficult situations. There is power in the name of Jesus. When we call upon the name of Jesus, yokes are broken. Demons run away. Pain disappears at the name of Jesus. He's a restorer of the breach. He's a giver of life. I'm talking about the name of Jesus. But what is the trigger? It's obedience. When we walk in obedience, we have that great name to our disposal. You know the sons of Sceva who tried to cast out a demon in the name of Jesus preached by Paul. The demons look at these sons like, hey dudes, we don't know you. Jesus we know, Paul we know, but who are you? The problem is they were not rightly aligned with the Jesus they were trying to call on. They were not obeying Jesus. And I want you to know obedience will release the power of Jesus over our lives. We will experience victories because we are obedient children of God. And yet Jesus, in my name you shall cast out demons. But for these boys, nothing happened because they were not living right before the name of Jesus. So obedience gives you access to a great name. And lastly, obedience gives you access to covenant benefits. Obedience gives you access to covenant benefits. I want you to know, Jesus did it all on the cross. The covenant is there. But for you to access the benefits of this covenant, obedience is key. Now, this is what God said to Abram. He said, listen, Abram, because of this act of obedience, I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. Your friends, Abraham, becomes my friends. And your enemies become my enemies. It means when you are an obedient person, there's an allegiance that happens between you and God. Everybody around you becomes affected because you are an obedient child of God. They become a beneficiary of the grace of God because you are an obedient child of God. When you walk into my house, you become a beneficiary of the blessing that resides over that house because of my life. He says to Abram, your enemies become my enemies. In other words, your battles become my battles. That is where he says, this battle is not mine, this battle is the Lord's. How does it become the battle of the Lord? Through obedience. When we surrender and we give everything to him, he takes over not just our lives, everything associated with our lives. When my child goes to a trip, the father looks over him. Maybe so, not so much about him, but because I belong to him. Because I have a covenant with him. And I say, not one of my children will die prematurely. And because of that prayer, angels are released to watch over my children. Obedience triggers that. Many of you here are beneficiaries of your grandma's prayers. Many of you here are beneficiaries of your mama and papa's prayers, who cried out to God on your behalf, who prayed for your marriage and say, Lord, I pray for my children's spouses. They are not yet married, but Father, wherever they are, I pray for my kids' spouses. My daughter is 10, but I know one day she'll get married. I pray for that young man. And I say, Lord, watch over him, protect his heart, so that by the time he comes to my daughter, his heart is in the right place. I pray for my son's wife. I don't know whether she's born or not, but if she's born, Lord, I thank you that you're preserving her from men of strange characters. Do you see where this obedience issue goes? It affects everything about our lives. If we can understand that, it becomes easy. You'll be able to say, Father, not my will, but your will be done. Father, not my will, but your will be done. You'll be able to say, Father, I know I'm supposed to obey here, but my faith is failing me. Help my unbelief. And the grace of God kicks in and you walk in obedience. And one thing that I've realized, whenever God prompts me to obey, it doesn't leave me until I do something about it. But the moment I walk in obedience, there is a peace. There's a joy that comes with it. You see, whenever we obey, it releases the heavens above us. Glory be to God. What's your journey on obedience? Does your faith bring you to a place of obedience? Somebody here, you're being prompted by God to obey something during the week, but you have not followed through. Today you can pray, say, God, give me the grace. Give me the strength to obey. Because it is more costly not to obey. We pay more for not obeying. Glory be to God. Faith that produces obedience. I want us to stand on our feet right now. I want us to pray.